On the program today, jobs and the state of this economy, and day two of this economy as seen from the streets of Buffalo, New York. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace. In Los Angeles, I'm Kai Rizdahl. It is Tuesday today, the first day of November. Good as always to have you along, everybody. We begin today, before we head off to Buffalo for a bit more on this economy at street level, we begin today with data that most definitely was not music to Jay Powell's ears. From the good people at the Labor Department came the monthly job openings and labor turnover survey. Say it with me now. JOLTS, right? It's almost fun to say. Companies advertised 437,000 more jobs in September than they did in August. And net-net, there are now 10.7 million jobs available out there, which is a lot. And just over 4 million people quit their jobs in September, which is also a lot. Although, to be clear, fewer than were quitting earlier in the year. Now, the reason all of this is dissonant for Powell and his colleagues at the Fed is that they want those numbers to come down, theory being that a cooling labor market equals cooling inflation. Theory. Marketplace's Matt Levin explains what today's numbers do and do not tell us.
Last week, Las Vegas hosted Staffing World 2022, the annual national convention for temp and recruiting agencies. And yeah, you guessed it, Staffing World 2022 was kind of understaffed, at least if you wanted a bite to eat at the hotel. Richard Walquist is president of the American Staffing Association.
In virtually every one of the restaurants, they gave great customer service, but there just weren't enough people.
That wouldn't surprise you if you read this morning's report. Accommodation and food services posted the biggest gain in job openings of any industry. And the long waits for waiters probably didn't surprise anyone in the temp world either. Walquist says that despite all the talk of rate hikes and recession,
we're expecting that these labor shortages are certainly going to continue rather acutely for the balance of this year and likely into the first quarter of next year.
While August saw a loosening in the labor market, the September numbers show that may have been an anomaly. Jason Furman is an economist at Harvard.
Employers are going to want to pay people more, which is a wonderful thing. But when they pay people more, they also tend to pass that on to their customers in the form of higher prices.
Furman still holds out some hope that the Fed can tame inflation by reducing job openings instead of reducing jobs.
But when you see a report like this, it becomes less clear that you can actually avoid that.
And even though a recession could be coming, workers don't seem to be that scared. The quits rate has been flat the past 3 months. Ann Owen is an economist at Hamilton College.
Still, workers are getting wage increases that are below inflation. So that could be fueling some desire to look for better circumstances.
The Fed is all but assured to announce the latest round of rate hikes tomorrow. Owen says the real question is what happens at the next meeting in December when we have more data. I'm Matt Levin for Marketplace.
On Wall Street today, everything was fine till that JOLTS report landed. We'll have the details when we do the numbers. JOLTS is one way to look at this economy, right? Reading the data. Getting out and talking to people is another, which is why we went to Buffalo, New York a couple of weeks ago to tell you the story of this economy from one particular place in this very peculiar economic moment. Yesterday, it was a single street in Buffalo, Elmwood Avenue, talking small business. I have never seen this many plants in one place in my life.
This is actually a little bit low for us.
My rent in this building is $2,000 a month.
That's a lot.
You know, I just wanted to fix Huffies and, like, you know, get sweet bike parts at a discount. Yeah. And here I am, you know, making these tough decisions.
Those three businesses employ a combined total of 30 people. And we spent that time with those entrepreneurs because according to data from ADP, where longtime Marketplace contributor Neela Richardson is the chief economist, of the biggest cities in the United States, Buffalo had the second lowest monthly pay for people at the bottom end of the wage distribution.
Well, something happened over the last 2 years. That very low wage accelerated by 40%. 40%.
So today we move from small businesses in Buffalo to bigger companies. Way bigger. About 2,000 people in the Buffalo area work for Delaware North. Tens of thousands more internationally in its hospitality businesses. They brought in just shy of $3 billion in revenue last year. They operate food and retail at dozens of sports stadiums, like the one that's home to the Buffalo Bills, airports as well, including the one we landed at here in Buffalo, also national and state parks, and they own hotels and restaurants and casinos. Everybody in this town knows them.
Jerry Kai Rizdahl,
Hi.
Nice to see you, sir. How are
nice
you?
Nice to meet you.
Pay no attention to the guy with the microphone. That's Charlton.
Jerry Jacobs Jr. is one of the co-CEOs of the company, along with his brother Lou. And we met at a restaurant in the Buffalo Westin Hotel, which, as it happens, is connected to Delaware North's corporate headquarters.
Hey, sir.
Nice to see you. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for the hospitality.
Sorry about the weather.
Jerry and Lou were named CEOs in 2015, taking over a family business that started in 1915.
We are, one hopes, at the tail end of a pandemic. Tell me about going into the pandemic, the state of this business, and then somebody do a compare and contrast with today.
Well, we started in 2019. We had about 48,000 people on the payroll. At the peak of the pandemic, we had 900.
900?
900.
So you laid off 47,000-something people?
Yes, we did. And every one of our businesses, every one of our subsidiaries was shut down except for airports, which were running at about 10% of 2019 levels.
As all those businesses picked back up again, Delaware North had to rehire those tens of thousands of people in what we now know is a completely different labor environment. Here's Jerry Jacobs Jr. one more time.
Yeah, well, it wasn't easy. When we opened up, not only were we facing the difficulty of getting them back, but they were actually in jobs that were in many ways more appealing to them than working in a restaurant where your hours are set.
So your head of HR comes to you and says, Lou, Jerry, listen, we've got a serious problem, not enough people, I need help. What are you doing to get these people back?
You know, we talk a lot about sense of purpose and about growth. I mean, obviously you're going to have to pay high market wages and then some. But I think perhaps most importantly is this idea of a growth trajectory. And I think telling that story has been important in all of our recruiting.
Talk to me for a second about market wages. What are you guys doing specifically meet your, you know, would-be associates' salary demands, right? Because workers are in, you know, have some power now.
That and flexibility. But yes, we've had to, in this region in particular, we've had to increase our rates about 22%, which, you know, in an 18-month period is a pretty steep climb.
Yeah.
But, you know, we like to say they're worth it. And we acknowledge this is a tough marketplace, but we're getting there.
You guys are, you're supposed to be. I don't know if you are. But your job is to be strategic and set direction for this company. I wonder how worried or concerned or how much thought you give to the management of this economy, the Federal Reserve, inflation, the politics of this economy. Is that on your radar?
Absolutely every day. Lou and my offices are literally next to each other, and it's back and forth all day on those very topics.
Are you worried about those topics?
Well, I'll tell you this. I've been doing this job for over 30 years. I've never seen inflation like this before, so I can't tell you where it's going or what's going to happen.
That's got to be terrifying for a guy running a multi-billion dollar company.
Well, we did just shut it completely down and bring it back, so there are certain things that don't scare us anymore, but we can navigate.
There's one thing about the pandemic, and it's empowering in the sense that if you can handle that, you can handle just about anything. And so I think the sense of optimism has never been higher.
All right. Let's go see some of those people in the business.
Sure.
We're going to head to the kitchen, right? Is that the plan? Good. Let's do that. Because that's where all the noise is coming from.
We went down some very narrow stairs into the Westin kitchen, which you can only call charitably a tightly cramped space. Low ceilings with big ovens, racks of prepped food, and sous chefs and cooks and dishwashers.
Oh, yeah. Look at this. This is where it all happens. Hey, I'm Kai. Nice to see you. How are you?
How are you?
Tell me who you are.
Evan Wargo. I'm the executive chef here at Patina 250.
Evan runs the kitchen here. We showed up around 2 o'clock in the afternoon between the lunch and dinner rush.
Are you in charge of hiring?
I am.
So how's hiring going?
it's better. Back in 2020, late 2020, early 2021, it was pretty challenging getting staff in here.
You said better. You didn't say it's good.
It is good. I mean, I have a full staff.
Which is how many people? Sorry.
Ooh, probably close to 25 people.
So translate that into a layman. Like, what does that mean in terms of like productivity? What's your output?
I mean, I have people in here from 6 a.m. till midnight, and we have all kinds of outlets here. We have Jake's Cafe. We have the restaurant serving 3 meal periods a day, and we do office catering, corporate catering. All the
and you
catering,
do that with 25 people?
Yes, all the catering for the Westin Hotel.
You need to pay him more. That's all I'm saying. Right?
It's definitely a lot. We have people wearing multiple hats in here.
Are you having to give people raises?
Yeah, definitely. I would say coming out of the pandemic, the hourly rate has risen quite a bit.
Like how much?
Line cooks pre-pandemic were maybe going for like $16 an hour, and now they're like 17, 18, some 19 if they're more experienced.
Yeah. If I say inflation to you, what do you say?
Challenging.
Say more.
The cost of goods has gone up considerably, and the margins are already super narrow for a restaurant.
Right.
So it makes it very difficult to operate. Not impossible, but we have to watch every little ingredient that comes in and out of this place to make sure. We just have to manage everything much tighter.
What's the biggest challenge for you, inflation or labor and workforce?
Inflation.
Really?
Yes.
So you've got enough people.
You can hire enough people in this unit, yes. But the cost of goods is the most challenging aspect to manage, because I can't exactly control the cost of goods. I can control how I schedule people. I use fryer oil as an example. Pre-pandemic, it was $35 for 35 pounds.
Yeah.
At the peak, it was $90.
Oh.
So I can't even imagine some of the smaller restaurants, how they made it through that.
Right, right. Let me get the bosses back in here. Where are they? There they are. Thank you very much, Evan. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
What do you think of what he was just saying?
I think he's spot on. I mean, you're talking about inflation in particular. And what Chef does so well, and what many in our organization do so well, is you don't necessarily have to pass on all the cost to your customer if you can manage your menu properly, if you can work with ingredients, you know, work with portioning, and that's what they do. And that's where the skill really lies.
Let me ask you guys the same question I asked him. Your biggest concern, inflation or labor force? Lou?
I'd say the same, inflation.
Inflation.
And it's just requiring, you know, it's ongoing. It's every day. It's the agility required, the flexibility required. It's keeping everybody on their toes.
If you could get Jay Powell on the phone, which in theory you probably could, what would you tell him?
I think this is an incredibly complicated problem right now because, you know, too much can stop everything. Too little, and this thing's going to keep running out of control. So I think that's the biggest question out there right now.
Do you tell him to take a little pause and see how things are going?
I don't know. That's
above my pay grade. Oh, come on, take a stand. It's above my pay grade. Take a stand. Come on.
I think they keep going until they see this thing really slow down.
I think we've got to stop this train. It's rolling out of control right now.
Guys, thanks a lot. I appreciate your time.
Right.
Thanks very much. Chef, that was great. Really appreciate it. Best of luck.
Elmwood Avenue was kind of our base of operations while we were in Buffalo, the street where Neela Richardson and I were talking small business owners on the program yesterday. Not far from Put a Plant on It, the plant store, you can't miss Elmwood Pet Supplies. It's been around since the 1940s. It's got a big rainbow mural featuring a running dog painted on the side of its brick building.
My name is Sam Hensel. I'm 26, and I work at a pet store in Buffalo, New York. It's a pretty chill gig. I just show up when my shift is, cash people out, help them find their dog food. In my early 20s, I girl bossed real hard. I landed a job at a pretty big company downtown here in Buffalo. It was what I did consider a dream job. And then the pandemic hit. Our manager said we did great, but we are getting furloughed. We waited 3 months And then we finally got an email that said, hey, we're downsizing our company. 10 minutes after that, I got an email that says, your job is no longer a job. You don't work here anymore. Please bring your laptop in next week. I called my dad crying, and he said, well, you're still on unemployment from the furlough, right? And I said, yeah. And he's like, well, then you got nothing to worry about. The urge to get another job was really, really strong, but I had a decent savings. So I decided to just sit back for a minute. I've been working at the pet store almost going on 2 years now. Before COVID, I worked full-time, and now I work 10 hours less than full-time and make a little less money, but the time's worth it. I just feel like way more at peace. Like when I meet people, I don't necessarily tell them about my job first. I'm not like, hi, I'm Sam. I'm a graphic designer. It's like, no, I'm Sam. Like I like to roller skate. I play Magic the Gathering. I like D&D. Like I'm a person with things that I like to do. I'm not just a person who works this job. It's not the most like, you know, sexy job title out there, like social media marketing coordinator or like graphic designer, but I've honestly been the happiest I've ever been.
Sam Hensel working happily at Elmwood Pet Supplies in Buffalo, New York. Coming up.
I refer to this as a magic carpet ride.
I guess we'll find out about that one together, huh? First, though, let's do the numbers. Dow Industrials, down 79.7%, 32,653. The NASDAQ, down 97.9%, 108,090. 10,890. The S&P 500 shed 15.4%, 38.56. Matt Levin was talking about JOLTS, so here you go. Recruiting stock, Manpower Group up 2.5%. Korn Ferry found 0.5%. Workday dropped 2.7% today. Pfizer raises outlook for the year's revenue based on higher-than-expected sales of its COVID-19 vaccine and now expects to finish the year with between $99.5 and just over $102 billion in revenue. Pfizer up 3.1% today. Moderna rose 2.8%. Johnson & Johnson dropped about 0.5%. So we've been talking about Buffalo. Biggest employers in Greater Buffalo, and this is according to the local news outlet Buffalo Business First, are the state of New York and the federal government. The biggest corporate employer is M&T Bank, around 8,000 employees there. M&T Bank Corp today, down 0.1%. Bonds down as well. Yield on the 10-year T-note rose to 4.05%. You're listening to Marketplace. This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Let's talk cars here for a minute, shall we? Cars and jobs, picking up on the JOLTS report Matt Levin got us going with. There is a whole lot of right-sizing going on at the moment at the big American car makers, Ford, GM, Stellantis, too. That's the parent company of Chrysler and Jeep. Buyouts at some, a more conservative approach to hiring at others, which is, as Marketplace's Lily Jamali reports, part of a bigger shift playing out in that industry.
Car companies prefer to talk about the newest electrical this or the latest autonomous that. But all those shiny new cars and trucks are designed, made, and marketed by people. Ford CEO has said his company has too many of them.
Usually you don't say that publicly.
That's Morningstar analyst David Whiston, who says he was surprised by Ford's recent decision to offer white-collar workers deemed underperforming the option to go through a special review process or leave with severance. But change is happening across the industry.
Companies are battling the transition to a new type of propulsion, the kind of transition that really hasn't happened since the early 20th century.
Shifting away from internal combustion engines to focusing on electric vehicles. Ford's plans affect a small subset of people with 8 or more years with the company, says spokesperson Marissa Bradley.
A key element of delivering the broader transformation is to have the best talent possible working on the business.
GM has limited hiring to what it calls critical needs and positions that support growth. Stellantis, which owns Chrysler and Jeep, is offering voluntary buyouts to some of its 13,000 salaried U.S. workers. And as with Ford, the offer applies to company veterans, in this case, those 55 and older with at least 10 years there, which comes with a cost, says Brian Finkelmeyer of Cox Automotive.
A lot of tribal knowledge walks out the door when you lose those people.
But buyouts and selective hiring across the big three now don't necessarily mean layoffs later, says S&P Global Mobility analyst Stephanie Brinley.
Some of the people that they already have can make that transition with them.
Developing new skill sets where they already are. I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.
The last stop on our Buffalo coverage for today keeps us in Elmwood Village, home to the small businesses we were talking to yesterday, about which, by the way, if you missed us on the radio, podcast, y'all, we do that too, you know. Anyway, a couple of blocks from the pet store that Sam Hensel works at is a three-story mansion built in the 1890s. Once a private home, now part of the Buffalo service economy.
My name is Joseph Lettieri. I am the owner-operator of In Buffalo off Elmwood, a boutique hotel in the Elmwood Village. I refer to this as a magic carpet ride. How we bought the house, sight unseen of the city tax sale. We got challenged by some bankers, lenders early on that Ellen and I didn't have any hospitality experience. But as a maintenance, I owned a maintenance company, and as an owner, I felt like I've been in training to do this restoration for 30 plus years. 2020, we should vanish it from our memory bank, so to speak. Yeah, my therapist calls it my blue period, like Picasso. Everyone has to have one. It almost put us bankrupt. And so I looked at that as, oh my God, just sell it. We're going to sell it as a single-family home, which it once was, albeit 12 rooms, well, all with private bathrooms. But fortunately, there were no buyers. If it wasn't for PPP, I would not be standing here today, no doubt. And I'm proud to say we're the busiest we've ever been. You know, I'm experiencing some windfalls, so I'm going to share it with my team. I pay $25 an hour for my housekeepers to start with bonuses. So I don't have any trouble finding housekeepers. And I think the people that are complaining about the shortage, maybe they should look in the mirror. You don't have trouble when you're fair. Having a boutique hotel in a historic mansion, it's an experience, and people want an experience. So our business model is very strong. We're lucky. We don't have much competition in Buffalo. We deliver old-fashioned hospitality. On that note, would you like a scone?
Joseph Lettieri, he co-owns and operates In Buffalo off Elmwood. We should have stayed there, I think. This final note on the way out today, I saw this over the weekend, a new paper from researchers at NYU, Brown, and Georgetown entitled Yellen at Yellen, Gender Bias in the Federal Reserve Congressional Hearings. I will just quote you the relevant paragraph and you decide, okay? And here it is. The same legislator who interrupted Bernanke in 2013 is 14 percentage points more likely to interrupt Yellen in 2014 and 18 points less likely to interrupt Powell in 2018 than they were to interrupt Yellen in 2017. I mean, come on, man. Mm-hmm. All right, we are out of here. Here, though, is your moment of economic context. It's kind of more news you can use, really. Matt Levin mentioned this at the bottom of his story, but it does bear repeating. The Federal Reserve meets today and tomorrow. Smart money is on 0.75 percentage point interest rate increase. But here is what you really need to be watching. Pay attention to what Powell and the rest of them in coming weeks say about their December meeting. Believe me when I tell you that much reading between the lines will be done for any hint that they might ease up a little bit. Our digital and on-demand team includes Carrie Barber, Dylan Mietinen, Janet Wynn, Olga Oxman, Donna Tam, and Tony Wagner. Francesca Levy is the executive director over there. I'm Kai Rizdal. We will see you tomorrow, everybody. This is APM. With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.